managers. Today we're talking about Italian managers and what makes them so good and so much better than their contemporaries. I'm your host, Dan Canson. Welcome to the Culture of C podcast. And we've got Emma Gates here. Emma, you've written a piece about Max Allegri and Antonio Conte, the two leading lights of the Italian managerial scene at the moment. It's on destinationculture.com. So do go and have a read of that. And so I suppose the first question is, what makes them so good? Not just the two of them, but what makes Italian managers so much better than everyone else?
I think, Dan, we could sum it up in one word. Coverciano is basically the school of excellence for aspiring Italian coaches that perhaps they're ex-players or they're people who want to get into coaching. So they have to go through Coverciano, which is located on the outskirts of Florence. It's beautiful scenery around that part of Tuscany. Coverciano is the place where wannabe coaches or ex-players that want to get into coaching, they have to go through this school at Coverciano. You have to prepare. You get an insight into tactics, the fundamentals of coaching. And Coverciano, it's rigorous. It's perhaps one of the only models of its kind, Dan, I think, in world football, especially in Europe. I can't think of any of the major leagues that has almost like a finishing school in terms of coaching like Coverciano. So I think Coverciano is the centerpiece of why Italy continually produces top-class managers.
Yeah, we should point out, as you mentioned, it's very structured. It's very academical. You need to go there, you need to study, you need to prepare a thesis before you actually graduate effectively.
Yeah, you essentially stand up in front of your peers and you have a presentation, PowerPoint, whatever, and you basically show or present your thesis, your ideas. Every coach that goes through Coverciano over the years has to do such a thesis. Roberto Mancini, for example, he did his on the trequartista position. Obviously, himself being a trequartista, he knows a thing or two about the role. Luciano Spalletti did his on a 3-5-2. Antonio Conte did his on a 4-3-1-2 system, which is kind of ironic considering Conte has never really implemented a 4-3-1-2. But so, yeah, basically you have to get up and you have to create ideas and then you have to share these ideas with your peers, and they basically take you to task on your ideas, your beliefs, your thesis. It's like being at university in that respect.
Now, obviously, with coaches and managers, the proof ultimately is in the pudding. It's all well and good to sort of set out the benefits of playing 4-3-3 as opposed to 4-3-1-2. It's all well and good to have it on paper that pressing is better than possession-based football, but the proof is ultimately on the pitch, winning games, winning titles. When you look at Serie A and the teams that have won the league for the past 25 years, there has only been one foreign manager win the league in the quarter of a century, Jose Mourinho. When you look at the Premier League, there's still not been one English manager win the league. The closest we've got has been, we've had the likes of Sir Alex Ferguson, British, but not English.
Yeah.
And in the same period of time, we've had four Italians winning the Premier League. So that in itself is of huge significance, because Serie A, as we all know, it's not what it used to be.
No.
It used to be the league in Europe. You needed to be arguably the best team in the world to win Serie A. That's no longer the case for a variety of factors, financial, commercials. That's for a whole different podcast. But do you think that there is an element of Italian coaches being so good that they can actually go abroad and prove themselves to be so much better than their German rivals, French rivals, Spanish rivals, English rivals, for example? And is that down to Coverciano or is it down to other factors?
I think at the heart of it, it's rooted in Coverciano, because Italy, over the decades, has adapted a tactical approach to how to win football games. Every coach is steeped in tactics, and they've got a plan A, a plan B. They've got variations of a system. They'll, famously, was it Jose Mourinho or Pep Guardiola when they faced off against Giampiero Gasperini? They likened it to going to the dentist.
It was Guardiola, yeah.
Because Gasperini changed system so many times within one half of football. So Italian coaches, they have such a good bedrock of systems and formations and switches. And I think there's not the focus on tactics and systems as there is in other countries and other cultures. So I think that prepares Italian managers to go out into the world beyond Serie A. And they almost have a leg up because they're so well versed in tactics, where in England, the onus on tactics has only maybe increased in the last 10 years after Guardiola arrived and Jurgen Klopp arrived. But before that, English football tactics, not that it was a dirty word, but it was just like, look, we'll focus on us. We'll not worry about the opposition. So I think that's why Italian managers have done so well, is because the fact that Corvigiano has trained them and molded them to an extent where they can go out into the world.
Is there also a case that they may have benefited from the decline of Serie A insofar as where you don't have the best players, you need to be a better manager? In other words, you know, it's the old saying about having a team that is more than some other parts. You know, it's all well and good to win games when you have the best players available in league or in Europe, as is the case for the likes of, you know, Real Madrid and Barcelona over the years, City and Liverpool these days. Which is not to say that it's easy to win with those clubs, but it's surely harder if you're managing a club with limited resources. I'm looking at Simone Inzaghi, for example, reaching two Champions League finals in three seasons with Inter Milan.
Yeah,
I think everyone sort of used last season defeat against PSG in the final as a stick to beat Inzaghi with. But I always thought it's amazing they've reached two Champions League finals in three seasons to begin with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Simone Inzaghi, you know, you would say along with Conte and Allegri is the best of their generation. And the fact that, as you alluded to, Dan, the fact that he got them to two Champions League finals in three seasons is testament to how good he is, because let's be honest about it, that Inter team should not have got anywhere close to two Champions League finals. But the fact that they did was more about Inzaghi and not about the players. As you said, it's harder to reach those levels with inferior players than superior players. I think, obviously, Dan, you're wearing a Lazio shirt. And if we go back to the last foreign manager pre-Jose Mourinho to win the Scudetto, Sven Goran Eriksson, you wouldn't say Sven was a tactical genius. He was a 4-4-2 man. He kept it simple. But you look at the players that he had, and that's what got him over the line. It wasn't necessarily his greatness, his tactical brilliance or whatever else. But as you said, Simone Inzaghi has proven that he is a very astute tactician, because that Inter team, on paper, should not have got past Bayern or Barcelona last season.
No, absolutely. And also, I think Inzaghi is a fascinating figure insofar that he was probably the first manager to break the duopoly of Antonio Conte and Massimiliano Allegri. Allegri and Conte have won 11 of the last 15 titles in Serie A. Inzaghi was the exception, along with Luciano Spalletti and Maurizio Sarri and Stefano Pioli. So when you're looking at like the likes of Allegri and Conte, they're still at the peak of their powers now. You know, effectively, Napoli and Milan may well be contesting the title between the two of them this season.
Yeah.
So is there a case, though, could they be stunting someone else's growth because they're still so important for Serie A? Is there, who's the next manager on the next cab off the rank? Italianos won the Coppa Italia with Bologna. Is he ready to make that step and be in charge of a big team?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. An Italiano, sometimes I'm very impressed by him, especially last season. But then you think of the two seasons with Fiorentina. He got them to two European finals. But I felt with Italiano at certain points that there was no plan B. It was 4-3-3 and that was it. There was no variation if things weren't going according to plan. I remember the second Conference League final, I think it was against Braga. I think Fiorentina lost to, I know they lost the first one to West Ham, but I just felt you needed something different. Plan A was not working. Plan B, he didn't have one, so therefore Fiorentina lost. I think Italiano we need to see what he does at Bologna this season, and then perhaps if he gets, you know, a bigger job, perhaps not a big three or Napoli, but say perhaps someone like Roma, for example, would have been another step up to see if he has the mettle, you know, to be the next of the next generation.
Yeah. And on, you know, I think one fascinating element of the discussion around Coverciano and how good managers are is that one of the tropes about Italian football is that results are the only things that matter. You know, Italy, yeah, sort of, they're all happy to forego style in pursuit of success.
Yeah, Juve's mantra is winning is not important. It's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, well, exactly. But when I suppose that when you look at the likes of Giampiero Gasperini, who has been a revolutionary in Italy,
yeah,
he always comes across as more of a Marcelo Bielsa type figure, someone who wants to sort of, football is so important to him, the results almost don't seem to matter. That's not to say that he doesn't care, because he did wonders at Atalanta, and he might well do the same at Roma. But he always comes across as someone who is there to teach football, to sort of like broaden someone else's horizon with football. Is there an element of truth in that, or is there a case of, you know, Gasperini is just focused on results, but we don't see him that as, he's not as pragmatic as other managers, for example?
No, you're 100% right, Dan. I think that is the case with Gasperini and also Maurizio Sarri. I think to another extent, it's about the beauty of football and showing that there is another way to win football games. I think over the years, Gasperini has been linked on and off with the Juve job. But I just think it would be like oil and water. Two different philosophies, two different ethos on how the game should be played, how the game should be won. As you said, results are almost like a byproduct for Gasperini, in that it's more about instilling ideas and showing that there is a different way to play football. And Sarri's the same in that respect. So, it I think Gasperini has shown there is another way. And obviously, Atalanta won the Europa League. But I think in Italy, there is still the ideology that results come above all else. Style is secondary.
And do you think that that's also why Italian managers are so successful abroad as well? Because I think of Claudio Ranieri, you know, a beloved figure in the game, but not exactly the first man that springs to mind when you're talking about like tactical ideologues, so to speak.
You know,
he's very much a facilitator. Ancelotti as well, to an extent.
Yeah.
More of a facilitator than an innovator from a tactical standpoint.
Almost like an ego whisperer. You can just imagine Ranieri and Ancelotti in a dressing room just whispering things into players' ears.
Yeah.
You know, boosting their confidence. And it's why Ancelotti has done so well. You think of all the clubs he's managed, all the dressing rooms, all the egos. You know, Ancelotti's CV, I mean, it's like a who's who of European game. You think of all the big clubs, Ancelotti's probably managed about 70% of them.
And I think that when we, you know, as we said, success is the only thing that matters in Italy, the only thing that matters to a lot of Italian managers. But I do think there is an element of, we tend to forget that we've had some great Italian managers.
Yeah.
That have not won, did not win anything, or won relatively little.
Yeah.
You know, back in the 90s, you had Emiliano Mondoni at Torino, a great manager insofar that he took what was effectively a newly promoted side to a UEFA Cup final, which they arguably should have won against Ajax.
They lost on away goals?
They lost on away goals, yeah. I believe the last team to lose the European final on aggregate without actually losing either of the two legs. He won a Coppa Italia the following season. And again, you know, he was not what we would call a tactical sort of, you know, revolutionary these days. But he implemented a system which at the time was good enough to neutralize the likes of, you know, the great AC Milan sides, the great Juventus side, the great Inter Milan sides.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that, you know, we often tend to perhaps place too much emphasis on success, because effectively there's only one team that can win the league, but that doesn't mean that there's only one great manager. You know, we've had loads of really good managers.
Yeah.
I'll think of the likes of, you know, Mondonico, as I mentioned. You had the likes of, you know, the likes of Nebbia Scala as well.
Yeah.
He won in Europe, didn't win the league, but again, he was a phenomenal manager to compete at that level for so long.
Yeah. If you think of Alberto Malassani, like that Parma team, the Parma team that people think of in their mind with Crespo, Chiesa, Gigi, Thuram, Cannavaro, they won the UEFA Cup in 99 and the Coppa Italia that same season. Malassani, you know, and they played swashbuckling football.
They did.
Their only problem was they didn't have a big enough squad to compete in all three fronts, so they prioritised the cups over Serie A that season, but they were more than good enough to win it, and Malassani got them playing an exciting brand of football. You think of Carlo Mazzoni, you know, a sage of Calcio, Carlo Mazzoni, you know, famously a Brescia and took Bologna to a UEFA Cup semi-final that same season in 99. Yeah. You know, great managers, because Italy have had so many, as you said, only one manager can win a league or win a cup. But Italy, especially in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, it was littered with quality coaches.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a point that we should be making, because it's not a modern phenomenon that Italy is dominated by Italian managers, because since 1970, I believe, only four foreign managers other than Mourinho, and Ericsson have won Serie A. That it's four managers in 50 years. You know, Rich Pollock did it with Juventus in 72 and 73, Neil Slidham with Roma and AC Milan in 79 and 1983. Bosco, famously with Sampdoria in 1991. So this is not a case of, you know, modern football in inverted commas, you know, all the money is elsewhere, only Italian managers are left in Italy. Italy has always been a tough nut to crack for foreign managers since at least the last 50 years. Obviously, you had the likes of Elenio Herrera and Heriberto Herrera. Before that, there was actually quite a big influx of foreign managers in Italy.
Yeah.
Through the 50s and then the 60s. Ever since then, there's been a case of, you know, Italians only, almost exclusively Italians, apart from the managers we just mentioned. And I do wonder, is this, you think that this is a trend that's going to continue? Is it a case of, here's a question for you, is Serie A appealing to foreign managers?
I think the answer is two-pronged, I would say. I think because the tactical education is so high in Serie A, you need to be supremely confident in your ability to arrive in Serie A and actually compete with the best, because the education, the fundamentals of tactics is so ingrained in the culture. Like Jose Mourinho, you know, never mind the shy of confidence. Jose, he felt he was good enough to come to Inter and not just win, but win a treble. So I think you need to have a really good understanding of tactics. That's why it would be intriguing to see Pep Guardiola come to Serie A. It's the only big league that he hasn't, you know, managed in, because it would be interesting to see how Guardiola would do in the most tactical league in Europe. So there's that element. There's also the fact that the money just isn't there anymore. I think for foreigners, Serie A perhaps is appealing, but if the money's not there and there's not ambition of owners to meet a prospective foreign coach's ambitions, then they won't arrive. So I think the answer, there's two answers within the one, I think. But I think the main thing is, if you're not of a tactical nature or you're not supremely confident in your ability, you might give Serie A a wide berth, which is why I think you don't see a lot of English managers. You know, when was the last English manager to manage in Italy?
I think you will have to go back to the 60s.
Yeah.
I can't think of it. No. I mean, maybe there has been one, but I can't think of one off the top of my head.
No.
You will have to go back to the
beginning of football itself.
Well, ironically, a lot of English managers did get the sport off the ground.
Yeah,
in Italy.
Exactly.
A lot of them did manage, and they won the league as well in the early 50s. But yeah. I agree with you. I can't think of of a manager off the top of my head.
And I also think there is an element of Italians know, well, we produce the best coaches in the world. Why do we need to go outside when we can promote from within? Because Corvigiano is such a trusted model for prospective coaches and ingraining them and educating them on how to be a top level coach. They don't need to look outside. And I think when they do look outside, we've seen with Milan last year on their car crash of a season, when they hired Paulo Fonseca and Sergio Conceição, the results aren't that good. So it's, why not promote from within? Why not give Vincenzo Italiano a chance or Rafael Palladino a chance?
It is ironic that is the stick that is normally used to be Serie A with. They never promote from within, or rather, they don't promote from within in terms of players anymore.
Yeah.
But they still do that with managers. And as you said, I think they may carry on doing that for quite a while. Yeah. And obviously, we spoke about Antonio Conte, Massimiliano Allegri, Simone Inzaghi. Going slightly further back in time, like our generation grew up watching Football Italia, and I can think of three names, four names that dominated, you know, Fabio Capello at AC Milan, Arrigo Sacchi before him, Giovanni Trapattoni at Inter Milan, and Marcello Lippi at Juventus.
Yeah, I mean...
So, of those four, they're very different managers, very similar but very different managers within themselves.
Yeah.
So, I think, I mean, Sacchi probably changed football. Sacchi changed football. Capello was given an impossible task of taking over from him, and he probably did better than Sacchi.
Yeah.
On a domestic front, anyway.
Yeah.
Trapattoni won a lot with Juventus. Probably the only man to challenge Sacchi domestically when he was at Inter Milan, you know, with the German...
Yeah, the German trio.
The German trio. And then Marcello Lippi, who effectively took Juventus into modern football. Juventus reached three Champions League finals in a row, won only one, lost the other two. And they were by far the best team in Europe. I mean,
yeah.
Sir Alex Ferguson always spoke about how Juventus set the benchmark for everybody in Europe. So beating Juventus, even, you know, he was their team that he wanted to take down because they were the torchbearer of football.
Yeah.
So just of those four, who do you think had the bigger impact on Italian football and how did they change Italian football?
I mean, it has to be Sacchi, because I think if you think of Italian football pre-Sacchi and post-Sacchi, pre-Sacchi, every team had a libero. You know, and for the younger viewers out there, the younger listeners, the libero basically received the ball from the goalkeeper and would initiate attacks. Basically almost like what Virgil van Dijk does today, or what Leonardo Bonucci did for Juventus alongside Giorgio Chiellini. Every team had a libero and every team had a trequartista. And Sacchi was like, nah, that's antiquated. We're getting rid of that now. It's 4-4-2. It's zonal marking. It's a high press. We're going to squeeze teams. We're not going to give them space to breathe. Sacchi changed the game, as you said earlier, Dan. Post-Sacchi, every team... The problem then with something when it's so successful, everyone tries to replicate it. And in the end, it just becomes diluted and diluted and diluted. We saw it with Catenaccio in the 60s. Helenio Herrera's was brilliant. People copied it. And it just became ultra-defensive.
Yeah, that's the problem we're having now with Pep's football.
Yeah.
It's not that Guardiola's football is inherently boring or that is, you know, it leads to defensive disasters. It's the fact that if you play in League One and you're trying to emulate him, you don't have the players to copy that kind of football.
Yeah.
So as you're saying, one thing is playing 4-4-2 and press the team out when you have the likes of Gullit, Van Basten, Rijkaard, and Ancelotti in their prime.
Yeah.
Quite another is doing that with, like, you know, Cagliari or, you know, Pisa at the time.
Yeah. So basically then what you had post-Sacchi, or, you know, as Sacchi was leading Milan to glory, every team in Serie A got rid of the libero. And then number 10s almost become extinct. You think of Gianfranco Zola had to go to Chelsea because Ancelotti, who was a Sacchi disciple at the beginning, basically said there was no room. Ancelotti famously rejected Robbie Baggio at Parma as well. He was like, I play 4-4-2. I've Hernan Crespo and Enrico Chiesa up front. I've no room for you. Number 10s almost became relics, and that was a direct consequence of Sacchi and his 4-4-2. And famously, Sacchi then wore out his players like Van Basten, Hullet. They got sick of his methods. So I think Sacchi had the greater impact in terms of how he shifted the paradigm in the Italian game, because one position become extinct, the libero never come back, and the trequartista more or less did. Obviously, you know, Del Piero and Totti utilised the role or interpreted the role, but they did it differently. Del Piero started as a left winger under Marcello Lippi in a 4-3-3 and only kind of become a number 10 after he tore his cruciate ligament. Totti was a different animal in that he could play as a number 10, he could play off the left, he could be a false nine. But I think Sacchi definitely had the biggest impact on it. And every team in Italy and every team since has been compared to Sacchi's Milan. Pep's Barcelona and anyone that comes after.
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't think there is anything that comes close to Sacchi Milan. If you've not seen Sacchi Milan in their prime, I would strongly recommend to go on YouTube and watch is Milan's performance against Real Madrid in 1989, was it, at home?
Yeah.
So Milan trashed Real Madrid 5-0. The speed that they play is astonishing. You know, you watch FIBA from the 80s these days and you're thinking, be slow, be ponderous.
Yeah.
None of that. Obviously, the managers we mentioned, Sacchi, Trapattoni, Capello and Lippi, there is a common thread running through them, which is, well, first of all, they were all rather unique in their own right, in the sense that, you know, Lippi had his cigar, Capello was a stern figure, Sacchi the absolute visionary who, as you say, changed football. Trapattoni perhaps floating in between, a man who was successful, incredibly successful as a player. Trapattoni, we should mention, he came through at Milan as a player under Nereo Rocco. Nereo Rocco was a man who perfected Catenaccio. Did not invent it, as some claim. That was invented actually in Switzerland, I believe.
Yeah.
But he was a phenomenal manager in his own right. But the common thread running between them is that they all sort of tested themselves on the international stage. And Lippi obviously won the World Cup in 2006. Trapattoni didn't fare as well with Italy, neither did Sacchi. And, you know, I think the less we say about Capello's stint in charge of England, the better. I mean, Capello's stint in charge of England is best remembered for his index in which he was rating players, which, you know, so that tells you everything about the football.
And banning ketchup,
yes. Yeah. But I think it's interesting, isn't it, that going back to what we were saying earlier about results being the only thing that matters in Italy, there is this pragmatism that runs through the managers.
Yeah.
Sacchi perhaps was so enamored with his own ideas that he always refuted pragmatism. Sacchi famously went to take charge of Italy and everyone expected him to do what he had done at AC Milan,
yeah.
Which was never going to work.
Which was impossible, especially when you have players maybe, 20 days out of a whole year, it was never going to work.
Yeah.
And the fact that they thought that it could work was madness.
It is. And then you have Trapattoni who, as we said, won everything with Juventus in the 70s, won the UEFA Cup and the Scudetto with Inter in the 80s, did well at Fiorentina in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And then he's parachuted into the Italy job. And again, he looked a man, sort of like an analog man in digital era.
Yeah, he was, by the time he gets the Italy job, what was it? It was post-Euro 2000.
Yeah.
He was a man out of time.
Yeah, ironically, you know, he had replaced Dino Zoff, who was himself, being criticized for being a man out of his time, and then they bring in Trapattoni.
Yeah, and they give him 4 years, and with that squad, the football under Trapattoni was horrendous. It was 4 years of turgid football, and I think Trap hadn't moved on. And you think of the players, because you think of the best pragmatists like Marcello Lippi, they look at the squad, they tailor the squad based on the players that they have at their disposal. Trapattoni didn't do that. He was defensive because that was in his nature.
Yeah.
Or that's what he had morphed into. When you look at who he had Totti, he had Del Piero, he had Baggio if he could have used him, he had Del Vecchio, he had Montella, God's amount of name of quality strikers.
Yeah, but Christian Vieri from.
Christian Vieri in his prime, but he was so pragmatic to a point where Italy were just awful to watch. And I think Lippi did the best, as you mentioned, out of them, because Lippi was probably the only one that could be a good league manager and a good cup manager, which is basically what you have to be an international manager.
Yeah.
You have to be a cup manager, someone who can be brilliant for 7 games in a tournament. Whereas I think Trapattoni, Sacchi, and Capello, even though Capello didn't manage the Azzurri, but as we said, they're league managers. They love the grind week in, week out on the training ground. And it takes a certain style of manager to come in to have players 20 days a year, 30 days a year, and mold them into a cohesive unit, which is, I think it's a shame that we never saw Ancelotti as manager of Italy, because I think he would have been perfect for Italy, modern day Italy. You get the players in certain amount of days a year, because he's not a tactician anyway.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a lot of time to instill his ideas. So, yeah, but going back to Trapattoni and Lippi and Sacchi, I also think Lippi is almost underrated in a sense. As you said, Sir Alex Ferguson looked at Lippi as an inspiration. Juve were the benchmark of that late 90s European football. You know, they got to 4 European finals in a row, if you count the UEFA Cup final in 95, and then 96, 97, 98. Reached the semi-final in 99, but that was Ancelotti at Juve. But Juve were so good, and Lippi made them that way. But again, he was pragmatic. His first season, they were 4-3-3. it went to a 4-3-1-2 when Baggio was fit. Baggio was sold. Then it became Baggio, Ravanelli, Viale, 4-3-3. Juve were constantly selling players. Baksic and Vieri come in. Ravanelli and Viale left. Lippi changed the system. Then they left. Then Inzaghi come in up front with Del Piero. Zidane then was played as a number 10 in a 4-3-1-2. So Lippi constantly changed the system depending on the personnel.
I think his greatness is also, you know, underlined by the fact that he's the only manager I can think of who was incredibly successful, left the club, struggled at a different club because he went to Inter Milan and had a poor time. It went back to Juventus and it was just as successful as it had been before. Whether sacking Capello, both tried that in Milan and both failed miserably.
Yeah, and Trapattoni went back to Juve the second time from 91 to 94, won a UEFA Cup, but he had Baggio in his prime and he was nowhere near as successful as the 70s and 80s run.
No, I think with Trapattoni, I think when you watch his Italy team, you really do sort of get the impression that this was a man who had not moved on with football. Because obviously, I mean, we should point out that when Trapattoni was in his prime as a manager, even at Inter Milan, this was a time where defenders could pass the ball back to the keeper.
Yeah.
And keeper could hold the ball and you effectively would be shooting up shop. You take a 1-0 lead and then you shoot up shop.
Yeah.
You know, Liverpool and Forest to an extent were successful like that in England as well. So it wasn't just Inter or Juventus. It was a widespread habit. I mean, why not? See if you can do it.
Yeah, the pre back pass rule. It seems crazy now to watch football pre back pass rule and think, how was a rule against that invented sooner? But yeah, I think Trapattoni, as you said, the invention of the rule perhaps maybe fastened his decline. And by the time he got the Italy job, he was yesterday's man.
Emmett, I think we're going to leave it there. I think we've covered all the bases. Let us know in the comments, which foreign manager would you like to see in Italy? Is it Pep Guardiola? Is it Jurgen Klopp maybe making a comeback? Is it someone else? And also, do let us know why you think whether Italian managers are A, the best in the world, and B, what you think makes them so special.